Okay. Well, welcome back to Pastor's Roundtable. And we have, once again, instead of the pastors, we have our interns. So the second edition of the Interns Roundtable. I have Josh Adair and Devin Coleman and Billy Pierce and Beck Oderson and Ronnie Hull all with us today. So it is going to be a year. July 1st will be a year since many of you started, and for one of you, Adair, it will be 2 years since you started here. And so I just wanted to see, what have you learned while working here in the church that maybe you didn't expect as you were coming in? And let's just go down the list alphabetically. Josh Adair, if you wouldn't mind kicking us off.
Sure, Josh. Thanks so much for that question. It's fun to sit back and reflect on how God has been at work. You know, for me, as I was thinking about this, I thought there's at least two things that stick out in my mind. I'm not sure how many of our congregation remember, but I was in ministry 10 years and parachurch ministry before I joined the internship. And though I increasingly felt called to the local church, I always was really intimidated by the call to be in the pastorate. Wrestling with that internal call versus external call is something that was a big part of my call to ministry. And I think that's one of the first things that this internship program has really taught me, that it's an incredible gift for a church family to offer a place for men who do have a wrestling or even a clearer call than I did to ministry to be able to develop that call. I've been so blessed by our church congregation as I've thought about this is a stewardship of our resources as a church, is a stewardship of our finances as a body of the Lord, to be able to create a place where we can sit under the ministry of the word and sit under the ministries of men like you guys, our pastoral team, and to learn. And, you know, the affirmation and encouragement I've received in this, in my call, it's only offered more confidence and affirmation in the direction that the Lord has called me to. The second thing I feel like this internship has taught me is that it's the ministry of the word. It's the word of God that actually stands behind the minister. And it's beautiful to consider how the Lord in his body on Sunday mornings, it's the ministry of God's word, God speaking to his people. And it's humbling to think that the Lord would use people who are as big a knucklehead as myself to be able to teach others, to be able to exhort them to the truth of God, to help them grow in that and to help them believe it. What has stood behind me and the Lord has comforted me with is the theology of his word, which has all the power to exhort, rebuke, equip, and teach his people for all the gifts that they need to grow and for his church to flourish. So,
amen. You know, and part of the reason for this program is to help men like yourself test their gifting and call and to make sure that it's firm. Certainly what I needed when I did my internship at First Jackson, there was probably an external sense of call more than there was an internal sense of call. Mm-hmm. People were telling me they thought that I should be involved in the church and had been nominated to be an officer in the church. And then so really wanted to get into ministry and see if both of those things aligned. And I'm glad that we have that opportunity to do that here as well for our men here. Okay, so Devin Coleman, how about you?
Thanks, Josh. So I don't have, obviously, as many years in the game as Adair does here, so, but I do want to give something that I've learned personally. And I'd say one thing I learned is that the little things are just as important in keeping things running well. And I maybe didn't expect that at first, maybe being a little naive. But, you know, it's easy to think coming into an internship, especially at a place like First Pres, to think about the big things that's going to be happening, you know, the preaching and the teaching, speaking at conferences, et cetera. And obviously a lowly intern wouldn't be doing those things. But you tend to think that that's, at least in today's celebrity ministry culture, you tend to think that that's really what it's all about. But one thing the Lord has been teaching me and is still teaching me with this internship that I didn't expect at first is that God really does work through and bless the little things that we do. Everything from calling and checking on family members, from doing things like leading Arise, having small Sunday schools and Bible studies and, you know, running books around to the congregation. All of these things are very important. And I've just been reminded of Luke chapter 19, where Jesus talks about the parable of the 10 minas. Verse 17, where the nobleman tells the servant, he says, "Well done, good servant, because you've been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities." So I probably won't have 10 cities that I'll be watching over. But that word stands true in the sense that when we are faithful in very little, God blesses it. A lot of the jobs that we do as interns requires us to be faithful in little. But it's just been a blessing to see how God uses those for the upbuilding and the uplifting of his kingdom just as much as he does the big things. And I think he's going to continue to teach me that. That's kind of what I've learned.
Thank you, Devin. And I think that's absolutely true. There's so many things that happen in a church, especially this size, and all the day-to-day functions that people don't realize and all the things that get done behind the scenes. I really don't know how we would have managed through this COVID season without all of you interns. You guys have done an amazing job responding to the call. You've been here up at the church almost every day since this thing happened. I don't really think that there's been a day or a week where you guys weren't, you know, in the correct grouping and number, so we didn't have too many up here. But up here doing things for the church, if it's content creation, if it's calls, letter writing, all of those things. And the Lord really does bless that and use that in order to grow his kingdom. And it's one of those things that you'll take with you, I think, all the way through ministry, is that you can begin to focus on the big things like the preaching and sacraments and conferences that you may go get to speak at, or articles that you can write or whatever, but it's really the meetings that you have in your counseling pastoral room, or it's the letter you send to somebody on the anniversary of the death of a loved one that really does see large fruit in ministry. So thank you guys for all being faithful in the small things and in that labor. Okay, so we heard from Adair, we heard from Devin. Let's hear from Ronnie Holt.
Thanks, Josh. One thing I didn't realize working at a big church is just how boring it would be. No, I'm just kidding. But my thing that I've learned that was kind of maybe unexpected is kind of along the lines of what Devin and Josh shared, that it's the ordinary means of grace, even in a big church that has some pretty heavy hitters on staff, that it's not what they bring to the table, but it's what the Lord does through faithful preaching and prayer. And to see that too, I knew about all the staff before I came. I knew David Lawton. I knew these guys. And, you know, I thought there was going to be some magic touch that they had that to minister effectively to the people. But I found out how convinced they are that it's faithful prayer and preaching. It's the small things that, according to the world, looks like, well, you need to have a better game plan than just preaching and praying. But that truly is what effectively touches people's lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that work. It's neat to see that in people with strong gifts on our staff, that they're not looking to their gifting. They want to be responsible and hardworking and use their gifts, but they're not dependent on their gifts. They're thoroughly convinced after years and years in the ministry that it's, if the Lord doesn't show up, they can't do anything. So that's been kind of surprising, coming from smaller churches to a bigger church and thinking, oh, they must have some, you know, in the back of my mind, they must have some magic formula or Midas touch that just makes it all work. And then I get here and I find out, no, they're just as convinced that the smaller churches that I was at, that it's the Lord who does the work. Even if you are gifted, you cannot depend on your gifts. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So that's been, you know, a little surprising to learn, and a good thing to learn too.
Amen. You know, you might think that there is, you know, some easy cheat sheet that we can give you, that if, since ministry here seems to go well, and, you know, we're like a medium-sized Baptist church, but we're a pretty big-sized Presbyterian church, that we might have, like you said, a formula or whatever. But honestly, and I think what you said is absolutely true, and it's true for the very tippy top of kind of Presbyterianism, as far as guys that I have been blessed to get to know, if it's Derek or Ligon or Sinclair or whoever, it's really prayer and dependence on the word and God's providence. And there's no sense, I think, with any of those guys like, hey, I deserve this. I deserve to be one of these voices. But hey, the Lord in his providence for some reason chose to use a broken vessel like me for his glory. And for that, I'm grateful. And had I been placed in a country church for decades or a large church like this, as long as I'm being used for his ends, that's all that matters.
Amen.
Okay, well, let's see. So who's the next on our list? And I'm realizing now that maybe next time we do one of these episodes, I should go in reverse alphabetical order, because it's not very fair to Oderson and Pierce. They're, you know, you guys may have taken their answers, and now they're having to adjust on the fly. But be that as it may, Oderson, you're up next.
Let's be honest, Beck and Billy are probably the wisest out of all six of us.
Yeah, it's just like a golf handicap.
That's true. You can say six. Probably wisest of all six of us.
Well, thanks for your question, Josh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, good. Thanks for your question. It's wonderful to be here with all you guys talking on the podcast. You know, it's funny. You said they would steal my answer, and they all did. But I think that's because even from just a year, there's no way I could sum up what I've learned from this internship in, you know, 90 seconds. But I think one of the things that has been most exciting for me that maybe I didn't expect or didn't expect it to be this powerful was the way that the Lord has grown my love for his people, specifically here in this local congregation, through service. You know, I was really blessed to be an associate member here in college, and now full member and come on staff and have the opportunity to serve. But as I've served, I've been reminded of Paul's words, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, often when he says, being affectionately desirous of you, the church, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. And I think it's just wonderful and heartwarming to see the Lord work in my heart and grow my love for this congregation, and to see the Lord Jesus proclaimed week in and week out by the ministers, to see the word preached and ministered by the staff, and to see the glory of Christ reflected in the congregation. And I think it's a testament to the wonderful, wonderful thing that it is to be a member of a church family. And that's just something I experienced this year that I've never experienced in that way before. So yeah, I think that's something the Lord has grown me. And I don't think I was ready for how much the Lord would light my heart on fire for his people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing. Once you go from member to staff member, it brings a whole new light onto not only the people you minister to, but the people you minister with, and people that you just probably would not have run into or would not have connected with, you get a chance to connect with. And this is a very sweet congregation, and it is really like a large extended family. I can't imagine, and I don't mean this just to butter anybody up, but I can't imagine any sweeter or more wonderful place in all of Christendom. And so I'm glad you guys as interns get to see some of that. Okay, saving the best for last. Boom, boom, Billy. Billy Pierce.
Hey, Josh. In regards to doing last, just know I always take my hope from Matthew 20:16 that the last shall be made first. That's my hope for this morning.
You are first in all of our hearts, Billy.
No, but yeah, I'm very grateful to be here at this church. I think if I could use a word to describe this past year, it's just been wild. You know, it's been a crazy time, but a very good and sweet time. I'm very thankful to have the ability to work here, from being a college student in the college ministry, being a summer intern, and now being on, I guess, technically kind of full-time staff. But it's just been a very sweet year. Definitely was crazy to 6 months in have our kind of schedules and routines turned upside down because of the virus. But one of my favorite passages in scripture that's kind of been something I've gone back to a lot throughout this year has been Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You know, during this past year, there has been a lot of sweet times and a lot of weird times, like having things canceled or derailed from this virus. Particularly in the youth staff, there's been a lot of transition, turnover, and stuff like that. And so I think that this passage has really been what's given me hope and been an ease to anxieties about this is a race I'm running. And as I start off, hopefully, a lifetime career in ministry, to be able to understand that it's a race and to have endurance. And through all of these sweet times, even some of the hard times, I think it's been more and more affirming my call of when to go into ministry. Because when there has been times that have been stressful or frustrating or tough. It's just shown me that this is where I want to be. It hasn't made me not want to be in ministry anymore. But instead has just grown my love and appreciation for those who've labored in my life and those who labor at this church, including all the pastors and all the ministry staff. And then lastly, just this past year, I would say a big thank you to so many of the elders and pastors and members here who have reached out to me, who have gotten lunch with me, who've gotten coffee with me, bought my lunch, stuff like that. So it's been a very sweet year. I love getting a chance to work here. And it's been a wild time, and I'm thankful to work with all these other guys and can't wait to see and meet and work with the new interns coming on staff.
Yeah, and really that desire to continue to work through the difficult times rather than to quit or to go somewhere else, I think is a significant element of an internal call. You know, if our minds are always running to that next thing, the grass seems greener on the other side. And so, you know, ooh, I could be doing just name a vocation rather than have to deal with all of these ministry pieces. Then, you know, there's a chance that it's time to really look at whether or not you have a call. And instead, in ministry, we run into those things, and it may be frustrating, it may be hurtful, but it reinvigorates us to try harder, to make the ministry run that much more smoothly for God's people and for His glory. Well, thank you all for joining us this morning. Any final thoughts from any of you?
It's an honor to serve here. Josh Squires is the bomb.
Well, I agree with the first, but not the second. Well, look, again, I said it earlier, but I just want to say it again. You interns are doing an absolutely amazing job, and you don't get near the credit that you deserve. Your jobs have changed significantly over the past 3 or 4 months, and you have answered that challenge. I don't think I've heard a single one of you really complain. Many people have been able to have a slower pace of life during this COVID season, and I think largely ours have gotten more hectic. And you guys just picked it up and did it and did whatever you had to do so that God's people, especially the people here at First Pres, might be taken care of. And so on behalf of the entire congregation, thank you, gentlemen, for all of your hard work and your labors. And I am incredibly excited to see how the Lord continues to use you here, but not only here, how He'll use you in the future for His kingdom. Well, thanks for joining us, and hope to see you guys next week on Pastors Roundtable, where we have all the pastors back. Bye-bye.